order to receive Jesus, because first we must be forgiven. Well, maybe we've forgotten about the folk in the Bible who did some terrible things, and yet they were forgiven by God, and many of them was used mightily by God.
Yes,
let me ask you this morning, have you gotten about Moses the murderer? Moses murdered a man, and yet God used him and forgave him and used him as the great emancipator.
Yes,
have you forgotten about David the adulterer? But yet he was won after God's own heart. Have you forgotten about Zacchaeus, that greedy cheat? Are you with me? Who God, after forgiving, he said, I'll give fourfold everything that I beat anybody out of. Maybe you forgot about Saul of Tarsus. Are you with me? The people abuser and murderer who was on his way, amen, with a letter of authority saying, if I find anybody calling on the name of Jesus, I bring them back in chains. But he had an encounter with the master, and the master forgave him and made him one of the greatest apostles ever live. Oh, what about the story of the prodigal son who got his money and wasted all of his living, amen, on wild living, wine, women, and song, but Jesus forgave him. My brothers and sisters, we must never think that our sins are greater than God's love, because there's nothing greater than God's love. That's why, Lord, Romans 5:8 declares, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still, yes, Lord, sinners, Christ died for us. Because we also read in Romans 5:6, they say, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died not for the godly, but he died for the ungodly. And so how could we ever doubt God's love for us? My brothers and sisters, no one loves more than he does. No one has done as much for us as Christ has done. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus died for us, not after we start acting right, not after we stop sinning, but while we were yet sinners. Just like when we go physically sick, we go to the doctor to try to get healed. And in the same way, as a sick sinner, Jesus is our physician, and he came to take care of us. And so forgiveness is Christ Jesus' gracious gift to all mankind. It showed the love of God toward us. For the Bible say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, we need to know that Jesus will never give you eternal life because you're just a good person. You'll never be saved because you're compassionate, go to church, and you read your Bible, and even if you pray. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell us that receiving eternal life and going to heaven isn't an automatic deal just because of what we do. But Jesus desires us to come to him. He desires us to accept him. For you see, Jesus has already accepted you. Because he accepted each and every one of us when he died on the cross. Meaning he has already opened the door to us, and he has laid out the welcome mat for all of us. He's ready to receive you the way you are. You don't have to get yourself together. You don't have to clean yourself up. He said, come just as you are. And so let me ask you, will you allow him this morning, amen, to take you in? Will you allow him to change your life? Because the question isn't if he will accept you or not, but the real question is, will you accept him? But maybe somebody have no idea, yes, Lord, of how to ask for forgiveness. Well, it is the same as when you wrong someone, and you go to that person and ask them for forgiveness, and then you say, say to them, I'm sorry. Well, in the same way, God wants to forgive us, but he will not force it upon us, but he waits for us to ask him for forgiveness. Because when you ask for forgiveness, it shows that your heart is open and that it is genuine and you're ready to move forward. For instance, when our children used to argue or wrong one another, we'd make them, apologize to each other. And sometimes you hear them say sorry, but that's not too convincing. Are you with me? Because they're just saying that to satisfy us. But they didn't really mean it at the time. God wants a genuine heart. Huh? He wants us to really be sorry because he wants to change our sinful lives. In other words, God wants true repentance on our part. He wants us to really be sorry, amen, for all of our shortcomings. And then he wants to try, amen, so that we'll be able to be forgiven and we'll be able to move on in our lives. Let's move on.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Glory to God. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Turn them, if you will, to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10.
All right, then.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. I want to commence reading at verse 46. A familiar word, but I pray God will bring new revelation, new understanding, new illumination from the text for the hearers today. Verse 46 reads, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jerusalem, or Jericho rather, with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, we pray. I want to talk about when blind men see. When blind men see. Mark brings this account of this experience to us, and from this reality we see Jesus and this great work that he performed. There is a phrase here that the blind man uses that I want to immediately deal with, and it is the phrase that is said, "Thou son of David, thou son of David, thou son of David." Now this is important because one of the things that you recognize as he calls on Jesus for mercy, he's using a messianic term. He's the Messiah. This man is calling out of the prophesied reality that one day the Messiah would come. And this messianic term, thou son of David, it speaks about his messianic position and power, which was not at all in totality what Jesus himself was dealing with at this present time. But though that was true in part of who he was in totality, Jesus does not stop and bother himself with titles at this point because he has a mission to fulfill. Now, Jesus was the Savior part that he needed to focus in on, the part that removed the sin from mankind. It was this Jesus that he should have, though he called his name, he included, went further than his name, and placed his messianic title on it by saying, "Thou son of David." It was the Jesus part that got him his healing. I want you to see this in the text. I want you to recognize this in the text because the same reality is true for us today. If we know how to call on the name of Jesus, the personal name of Jesus, that powerful name of Jesus, that part that we must become intimately connected with, not only the knowledge of his name, but the intimacy of the man. When we know Jesus in a way that if we call upon him and know that he will answer us, then we shall have what it is we desire. Now let's go back to the text because there are some things I want us to see. First of all is, I want you to note a call of faith. This is a call of faith. Let's look at it because I want you to see the record. First it says in verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, this was no uncommon place for Bartimaeus to be. Bartimaeus, many times, as many beggars and many folk who were lame, etc., sat by the busy highways and the byways that passed through great intersections or connected great intersections. They would move in places where travelers would come more frequently, and they would cry out for the mercy of the traveler to give them monetary gifts. And so this was no uncommon thing. This wasn't some special place Bartimaeus just happened to get into that day. It was his place of continual dwelling for most parts. And so he just happened to be in the place where Jesus was on his way from and on his way to another place where, again, he happened to be close nearby Jesus. Look at the word again. I want you to see this. Verse 47 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, how did he hear? Well, the record just said that Jesus with his disciples and a great multitude of people, they're traveling and they're talking. And if you're blind, one of the things that's usually keener in that same sense realm is the hearing. And so many times through the hearing, they receive many different types of information from different senses. But here, he heard that Jesus was passing by. Now, he had never seen Jesus, no doubt never met Jesus, but he had heard of the many
and miraculous works that Jesus had done from people time in and time out. Now he has the opportunity to be in close proximity to Jesus. He's setting off the highway enough not to be run over by the crowd, but yet close enough to be in the mix of what's going on. So notice here the word says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now he's making the cry for Jesus, and he is petitioning Jesus for what he desires. Verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I've said and preached this text many times before, but here again I want to emphasize the fact that what you need from Jesus, somebody else might not. And you have got to be cognizant of the fact that there are times when others will not petition the Lord for you like you can petition the Lord for you. And there are just some things that you have got to cry out, you have got to call out, you have got to speak out for God to hear you and to heed you. And so this man, listen at this, heard that Jesus was passing by. Nobody really came and said, Bartimaeus, Jesus is passing by. He just heard the conversations as people were walking and talking, and he recognized, this is my chance to put my petition in to the one who can make a difference. You know, one of the problems with most of us, we tell people who can't do nothing about our problems all about our troubles. And we've got to learn, we've got to know who to go to get our troubles fixed. So when they told him many, which means it wasn't one person or two people, it was several folk telling him, man, shut up. Jesus ain't got nothing to do with you. He don't want to hear you. He's in the back. He's sitting down. He's in his fixed position, his begging position. He has a throw cloth around him. What happens is many times people would put monies in their laps and just throw. They would not reach in the hand and give it. You know how some folk give grudgingly? Yeah. Or of necessity? They don't give with love. They just kind of give it to you. I was in the store the other day, and there was a gentleman before me, and the cashier, and she gave him his total, and she reached her hand out for the money, and he threw the money on the counter. And I watched in her eyes as she picked the money up from the counter, she cashed it out, and she was reached out and gave him his receipt, were pulled out to give him his receipt. He held his hand out, she put the money back on the counter. I stepped up next in line, she totaled up all of my goods. I reached my money, put it in her hand. I had the exact change, but I tested her. I said, let me give an extra dollar so I can get some change back, see how she's gonna handle this. So when I gave it to her in her hand, she cashed it out. I reached my hand, she put it right back in my hand. I'm trying to tell you, sometimes you gotta realize you gotta treat folk the way you want to be treated. You gotta do things in a manner and a custom of which you yourself would like to be treated. But anyway, there was a garment thrown across them so that when they threw money at them, it would land on the garment, and all Bartimaeus would do would pick up the corners of the garment and shake it and pull it together and just reach, I wish I had somebody, put it in his little sack. So he had that draped out all across him in a crouched position while he called on the name of Jesus, and other folk who didn't need sight told him to shut up. I promise you, if there were some other folk who needed sight with him, they would have been joining in with him saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Have I got a witness? I got to tell you, sometimes your needs are greater than other folks sitting around you. And you're responsible for telling the Lord all about your situation. So listen at this word. I want you to see this. The word says, verse 48, after he raised up his voice and resolved, I'm going to call till Jesus hear me. I don't care if you don't like me calling on his name. I'm not ashamed to call on his name. I'd rather the car. I'm sick and tired of sitting here begging folk for stuff they don't want to give me anyhow. I'm going to call on the one who desires to bless me and elevate me and take me to another level. Jesus, thou Son of David, I want you to know you're my Savior and you're my Messiah. I need some help right here. Look at what happens. Verse 48, 9. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus stood still. And Jesus, now notice here, it didn't matter what the other folk were doing. When you call on Jesus and you get Jesus' attention, that's really all that matters. It don't matter what other folk are looking like and what other folk are feeling like and what other folk are saying. When the one you call stands, he was on his way somewhere. But how many of you know you can stop him right in his tracks and he'll see about you when you call with a call of faith? Listen to this word. The Bible says, and Jesus stood still, comma. Let's pause. And when he stood still, he commanded him to be called. Now, he called Jesus. And Jesus called him. But now look at this, look at this, look at this. Because this is the way I love the way the Lord works. The same folk who were saying, shut up. Don't mess with Jesus. Don't call Jesus. The same folk who were trying to quieten him down. Jesus stands still and say, tell that man come here. And it was a relay of command. So which meant people saying, tell that man come here. Hey, hey, tell that man come here. Hey, hey, tell that man come here. Hey, tell that man. And no doubt it got close enough to him where all the folk were, hey man, he calling you. I wish I had a witness in the house here. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. This was a call to faith. First thing I want you to know was it was an invitation. An invitation. Jesus stood still and called him, listen at this, from where he was to where Jesus was. And my brothers and sisters, when Jesus gives you an invitation out of your situation, out of your distresses, out of your disturbances, out of those things that are there to destroy you, you then have the ability to answer the call because he gave a personal invitation. Now notice what was clear about the invitation again. It was not a general invitation because the general public didn't call him. It was a personal invitation. What I'm trying to tell some folk is you can come to church, but everybody who come to church ain't calling on Jesus. And so you can be the only one on your row, the only one in the house who's really come to meet with Jesus. And while other folk are doing what they're doing, he knows your heart. He hears your voice. And if you call him like you want him to come, he'll stand still. Now, here's what I love about the Lord. He doesn't always have to come to your situation to bring you out of your situation. He can call you from where you are to where he is. Listen at this, because I want you to see it was an invitation. But not only was it an invitation, because they informed him, the blind man, Bartimaeus, that he was invited. But while they also gave him the invitation, they gave him some information. I want you to see it in the text, verse 49 again. Look at the information. They said, and Jesus stood still and called and commanded him to be called, and they called him, the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Now, this is the information they're giving him in the invitation that they're about to present. Be of good comfort. This wasn't the first time he had heard be of good comfort.
What you say?
See, folk will tell you, man, don't worry, everything gonna be all right. Just hold on, be strong. He didn't heard all this stuff before. But what makes this information different from other informations he had received in the past was the word that follows after this information. They tell him, be of good comfort, and then the next word says what? See, folk will tell you everything gonna be all right, but it ain't gonna be all right right now. Just hold on, be strong, you know, just wait, you know, your change is going to come. But this was different because he was told be of comfort, and right after that, the record was that he was to rise out of his situation. And notice here again, because this is important, as he gets this information, he is now inspired to do something about his situation. Now listen, wasn't nothing wrong with his legs. His problem was his eyes. And sometimes we have problems with one area and we let it affect another area. And he said, listen, what you need to realize is ain't nothing wrong with your feet and your legs and your limbs. Jesus, he's calling you. Now, listen at this. He's inspired because what he realizes is he's not looking for a healing in his feet, a healing in his legs, a healing in his limbs. He's looking for a healing in his eyes. So here's what you need to know, and I've told you this before. It's a principle, and if we practice it, we'll profit from it. God will never, ever do the possible. That's our responsibility. He will do the impossible. Now, he called on Jesus, and Jesus called him. Now, he came, Jesus, by where he was. Jesus said, now, I'm here as far as I'm going to go. You're going to have to do your part and come meet me if you want what you really want. So he inspires him to leave out of his place of self-pity. Notice the record was he was sitting there doing what? Begging. Your confidence is not where it ought to be when you got to sit there and beg folk for stuff. You're not secure in who you are and where you are when you got to beg folk for stuff. It was a whole lot of stuff going on in his psyche, in his spirit, underneath the skin. And the reason why Jesus calls him out of that is sometimes your miracles can't take place in the place where you're having a pity party. Did y'all hear what I said? Sometime you got to get out of that spot where you've been moping and crying and weeping and saying, woe is me, and get you another place where you are not used to. And that place where he was different from where he used to be. So tell your neighbor, sometime you got to leave stuff behind you. Tell your other neighbor, sometime you got to leave stuff behind you. Look, can I tell you, when he got up, he left the folk who told him shut up behind him. Everybody don't want to hear about your blessings. Everybody don't want to hear about your deliverance. Everybody don't want you to get out of the situation you're in. Everybody don't want you to come up from where you are. You gotta want it bad enough. So listen at this. It was a call of faith. Invitation, he had information, and received inspiration. But now I want to show you, listen at this, this is the difference, a show of faith. Jesus made a call to faith, but I want you to see this man's faith. The first thing I want you to note is his rapid response. See, when you are inspired, it causes you to make a move one way or another. Listen at this. Look at the rapid response. I want you to see it. Verse 50. Well, let's back up to the last few words of verse 49. The word says, be of good comfort, comma, rise. And notice what it says next. Semicolon. He calleth. They didn't have to say that twice. Matter of fact, as soon as they said, he calleth thee, The record is, and he, the one that was called by the one who called, casting away his garment. It was called, from some commentators, a begging garment. And he literally was sitting down and reached around and pulled that off. Might have had a few coins on it, but it didn't matter to him. He didn't take time out to gather up them few little coins he had to put in his pocket. What he was going to was greater than what